morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John McKay, how you doing over there?
Well, I pity the people that didn't blow out their sprinklers.
Yeah, you know, we started talking about that about a month and a half ago. And I'll tell you the crazy one. Earlier this week, I think they might need to talk to my team about property management. I drove by a certain office building on a night that was 12 degrees, and the sprinklers had ran that evening, and then they had iced up the sidewalk and the street out in front because it was on a little bit of a hillside.
Wow.
And it was an absolute mess. So yeah, a couple people did not listen to the show, McKay, and I don't think it's a good outcome for their system.
Probably not. Next spring, they're probably going to have cracked lines and all sorts of stuff.
Well, we do talk about, you know, this last week was kind of that. That's why you do it. So, like, for instance, if it gets to 26 or 27 in the winter and someone didn't blow up their lines, but when it gets down to 12 and the sprinklers ran, or 10 and 9 in some spots,
that's, and the wind chill is single digits,
a little problematic. But I will tell you, though, the days were nice. From like 12 to 2 was awesome.
Yeah.
When it was sunny.
When it was about 47, the wind wasn't blowing.
So, yeah. So, this is kind of what we've been warning people about and getting people prepped for. I tell you what, though, it still has just finished off October with us. Was just a really, really hot month. Take out the last week of freezing temperatures and stuff, and we had really good weather, and the real estate market is still just firing on all cylinders. Overall, it's been really, really good weather, easy to show properties, get things moving. So, yeah, we have huge, huge October numbers, which I love to see. Love to see. Well, before we jump into our topic, I would like to introduce, he's been on the show before, but we have our managing broker of the Kenmore Team Property Management Brokerage, RJ Lang, here with us. RJ, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Lance. Really appreciate it. Good to see you, John, too.
Absolutely.
Well, before we jump into talking to RJ, I wanted to get him in here and talk about property management. It's kind of that time of the year where you are wrapping up what happened in 19 and starting to make plans for 2020. So before we jump into how that encompasses property management, we always like to start off with our crazy celebrity real estate story. And this one had all kinds of connections for today's topic. StreetEasy.com had released on their blog that A-Rod, yes, that A-Rod, is fitting for the show today. It was A-Rod the landlord, ? And so celebrity sightings are common in New York City, but what about celebrity landlords? Well, it looks like baseball superstar Alex Rodriguez, he's just about as famous for being engaged to J-Lo, if you ask me, right? And so, but his investment firm, the A-Rod Corp, recently has gone into contract on a 14-story Manhattan rental building in an area called Turtle Bay. So it's a 115-unit building built in 1965, and his partner investors are renovating it. They added a new laundry facility to the property. They're also going to be adding a gym. Now, this is not his first step into New York City real estate. A familiar face around the Kenmore team, he bought earlier, years back, he bought a 22-unit building in the East Village with Barbara Corcoran, friend of the show. With Barbara Corcoran, and they met when they were on. He was a guest judge on Shark Tank.
Mm.
And so he's been in the business for sure. He partnered with Maudlin Group. It's a real estate agency. They call it a boutique real estate agency, so an independent, much like Kenmore Team is and Kenmore Team Property Management. And they are going through and bought that property. And so it was really interesting. So then I started thinking, we're going to talk today about property management. And I took it a step further. I didn't just read that article as I was prepping for the show. I said, I wonder what rents are in that 115-unit building, McKay. Mm. So I pulled up, McKay, a studio was available in A-Rod's building. It is in the description. It is described as a spacious studio with a living area of 12 by 18.
Wow.
Okay. And do you want to know, McKay, what the rent was on that studio in A-Rod's building?
$7,000.
Wow, that would have been a little much. It was $2,800, which would be, when you look at our portfolio of our properties here, RJ, I'd say that'd be like in the top six or seven of, you know, almost 300 units.
I would have to say it would, yeah.
Yeah, it'd be right up,
it'd be
there.
Up there.
Occasionally we'll get a house that's like 3,000 square feet. That's mm-hmm. more than, but yeah, I mean, this was like the couch right beside the bed, the sink over. I mean, I literally was just like, you have got to be kidding me, $2,800 a month. Oh, yeah. So it'll be interesting to see. Obviously, A-Rod also liking real estate and partnering up with real estate companies and putting some of his money to work in the real estate market. Well, today we wanted to talk about, I wanted to get RJ in here to talk about property management and what he does. And RJ, thank you for coming back on the show. But you run the property management division over at Kenmore Team and that brokerage. And how long have you been in that industry?
I've been in the industry for about 10 years now, four here with Kenmore Team Property Management.
So you've seen 10 years, you've seen it, you've seen a lot. I don't want to say you've seen it all because you and I work on new things every day, it seems like.
Yeah,
but
it's true,
but
yeah.
You've seen a lot.
Yeah, definitely seen a lot.
Fantastic. Yeah. And then now I do want to say it's not just property management. I will throw a little shout out there. You are a very active, enterprising young professional, and you recently just got back from doing something in Arizona. What were you doing down there?
Yes, the Half Ironman Arizona this
Ooh.
Year, I did last Sunday.
And yeah. that was a total distance of what?
70.3 miles.
Oh wow. My gosh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're not just like have amazing perseverance in property management. You have that in your personal life as well.
Absolutely. It's great.
Okay. Well, I'm glad to see that you lived and you returned back to the Tri-Cities.
Yes.
So congratulations on knocking that out and finishing that.
Thank you, Lance.
So I kind of left it open for you to come and talk a little bit about property management, but also, what are some of the things in your department that you're working on right now and that you're thinking about for next year? Go ahead and just hit us with it.
Well, right now we're focusing on expanding investors' portfolio, and it's the planning season. So our investors are planning for next year and what investments they're looking to bring on.
Gotcha. And so when they're doing that, I mean, you work with a wide range of investors and people. What are some of the reasons, the main reasons and stuff that you see people come to you and consider real estate as an investment?
Yeah, as a first or next investment, usually they're looking for a supplementation to their retirement or a retirement vehicle in itself. I know that I personally, for my young daughter, her college fund, I'm putting an investment property together for that to pay it off in 15, so I have those funds available come the time when she's going to college. Others were looking for either a hobby or a project to put together, and then others are looking for tax saving strategy? I know that's a big one with a lot of the clients that we have.
Yeah, and you know, you bring up a great point, and I know I've been in on some of those discussions and sat in on some of those meetings that you have with folks. A number of clients come to mind, but you know, that's a really interesting strategy that you mentioned there about your daughter's college fund, and I've sat in on two or three different meetings with your clients to where people have had, they've had two or three kids, and, you know, my wife and I used the strategy, was very similar. We were on the commercial side with car washes, but we, you know, when I would buy one, I would look at it just exactly like you said. Okay, if we put this on a 15-year note and that pays off, then that is going to be, you know, I could sell that and that would pay for Mason's college. And then if I bought a second one, then I could sell that and that would pay for Mia's schooling and Mia's college. And so went through that process, and I've seen you do that in our office with clients to where they have two kids. And so they buy two rentals and they're on 15-year notes and they're like, okay, when these are paid off, and one of two things happened. You're right, is they've got a nest egg there of a $200,000 asset that's paid off, or they've got cash. It is paid off and they've got enough cash flow that they can pay for the college out of pocket as it goes.
Yeah, wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, and it is fantastic to see families start to build equity that way. What did you mean by when you talked about retirement or retirement income?
So once you get past the, let's say if you have two kids like we're talking, and then you get a house per kid, then you could start to focus on yourself, right? If you don't have a job employment that will cover you with a 401k, and even if you do, you're going to want something in addition so that you can pursue your passions after your kids get out of the house. And you and your wife, your spouse, you want to go do something with the rest of your life.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've read numerous times in numerous financial publications that they say for the majority of Americans, it ends up that their house is their largest financial nest egg that they have, well beyond, 401ks or mutual funds or that type of stuff, which have a great spot and a great position, and we've had people on the show talk about that. But we've always said, well, if your house is your largest asset and your largest amount of savings and net worth that you have, what if we could show you a way to double that? I mean just think of the power in that one purchase, doubling that. So now instead of retiring with, say, the meat. Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. Little different slant on our topic today. We've been talking about preparing for investing in real estate, and this is kind of the big planning season right now. At least the people that are setting goals and putting together business plans for next year, a lot of that happens started last month. I know on our team, we try to be really, really proactive with getting that ready so we can hit the ground running January 1 instead of spending all of January figuring it out.
Yep.
But a lot of people, too, are kind of with part of those plans are looking into 2020 and saying, before the break, we talked about maybe it's time to buy an investment property. I've seen the values go up the last 5 years in Tri-Cities. A lot of people that had put this strategy in place 10 years ago really, really took advantage of that same strategy. In fact, a lot of people that we had put on this plan of buying one or two or three other rentals, and we started doing that with clients, 10, 11 years ago, they didn't even make it to the 15 years because the appreciation was so good. They had already, in many cases, doubled up on what they thought they would have, and so they just sold the properties and cashed out, or rolled them into bigger properties or commercial. So, and speaking of that, and taking that money and rolling it into other properties, once again, we have RJ Lang here, managing broker of our property management division. And RJ, I know one of the things people have questions about is, yes, I want to do an investment property, but how am I going to be able to fund that? How much down do I have to have? What's a good strategy for me?
Right. Before we get there, I wanted to touch on, because it was a question in my mind when you started talking about this, is like, people have been doing this last year, and over the last 5 years, they've seen this growth. Have I missed the boat? Right?
Yeah, and that comes up a lot, or people are like, "Well, you're exactly right. Well, I missed all the equity appreciation. There's no reason to do it now." Well, that is the exact same thing that people were saying to us 5 years ago.
Right.
They were like, "There's no way Tri-Cities is going to appreciate anymore." Or, I mean, look around. There's nothing here. And then next thing you know, there's 160 wineries. And I'm not saying it all happened in 5 years, but there's some critical mass there. And so those are the same things we were hearing 5 years ago. And it would be highly unlikely, in my mind, to say that prices would go back down. You know, the cost of goods are not costing less, and the construction practices are not the general makeup of what goes into a house. And so, you know, there's still appreciation in this market. And so, and you got to, when you're playing a real estate market, like we talked about, we're looking at a 15-year window, generally. I all of those people we sold properties to 5 years ago, I didn't sell them those properties to get 12% appreciation and get out in 4 years. That just happened,
right?
Because we were in this lucky window.
Right.
We were selling them those properties to get in, put on a 15-year mortgage, pay off in 15 years, and have yourself a huge, large savings account in your property. And so that same advice we were giving then, we're still giving today. So and especially right now, interest rates are 2 points lower than they were when we were doing that, you know, in the past. It is an incredible time still to buy.
Yeah. Yeah. And it makes that process more aggressive. Sometimes it's the single families. You have two single families and you trade it up to, say, multifamilies. When they see what's happening with these single families, then maybe they are more aggressive with it and say, okay, I'm ready to sell and trade up.
Yes.
Is what I see a lot of investors doing.
So that's one way for people to fund that, their next acquisition, is to trade up from what they already have.
Correct.
What about people that don't have anything yet?
Right. Now it's time to plan on your funding. What are you looking for down payment? And they say typically about 20% down payment is what you're looking at to get into an investment property. Pick a good loan officer that suits your needs or that you know, like, and trust, and then work with them to game plan on what you're going to need in order to get into a investment property, whether it's using your savings, whether it's leveraging the real estate you currently own, or what you need to do with that.
Yeah, because a lot of times they might have been used to buying a house and putting 5 or 10% down when it was what the industry calls your primary residence, meaning you are actually going to live there. Mm-hmm. But when you're buying investment property, you have to be prepared of having 20 to 25% down. And a lot of times people will ask me, well, what's the reasoning for that? Well, you know, it goes back to a very psychological reasoning. And that is, if you get into financial trouble and you have two houses, one that you live in and one that you don't live in, it has been proven time and time again which one you stop making payments on.
Yes.
That is not the one you live in general. So the bank has a higher risk factor there. And because of that, they want to be protected. And so they require more down. It's a very, very simple way of doing it. I'm sure somebody way more financially complex, and my financial planners and people are probably rolling their eyes. But that is a very simple Lance Kenmore explanation of how we've gotten to that point with higher down payments. Yeah. And then you said you also mentioned leveraging real estate you currently own. Maybe your principal residence is paid off.
Yeah. Yeah. Then there's ways that you can, you know, maybe take money out for a down payment on investment property.
Yep.
That's definitely an option.
And then I know you've had a number of people in your office that says, well, that one is paid off. Maybe I go upgrade my principal residence and then turn that one into a rental.
Yeah, that's a really big strategy as well. They just go out and buy their primary residence, and they don't need anything from their current primary residence. So they just use that as an investment, use it as a cash flow tool for monthly income.
And then I found, too, that people that do that, you know, they're comfortable with that house because they lived there. And so they know it. And so if someone has some hesitation about becoming an investor, sometimes that's a great way to do it because there's not the risk of what am I going to get. You already spent the last 15 years in your current house. You know what you have.
Right.
And so we will utilize that strategy a lot of times to help people get started with the process. Now, two or three times last week, people were in my office, RJ, and then I had to, you know, talk to him and then walk him down to your office and say, how do I find these deals?
Yeah, that's one of the biggest questions. I mean, you can plan this all out, but then you have everything in place, but where are the deals coming from, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's some that come from that Facebook group that you want to become a part of, but also from the Kenmore team and from property management, from internally in the portfolio that we have. A lot of clients want to, you know, maybe trade up and offload some of the properties that they currently have. And instead of putting it on the market, we can reach out to the people that we're in contact with for those deals as well.
Absolutely. So we might have a client that says, sell my two single families because I'm going to go buy this commercial property. And then we go to our list of investors that are currently looking. And we can then move those internally to that list if it's a good deal for both the seller and the buyer.
And that really helps when we know what you're looking for, because right? Then we put you on that list.
Absolutely. If you want to be involved with that, go to kenmoreteam.com. Just shoot us a quick contact form that says, put me on the investors list. We can put you on our list to have and to call when we have those rental investment properties coming available. So that's a great way to do it. And then as we wrap up here, RJ, just real quick, these shows, I always bring all this material. I literally brought 2.5 pages and we're at the bottom of page one. So I'm going to have to book you in after the first of the year for another show. But if someone just has one property, why still use property management?
Oh, it's
in a nutshell. I know I'm putting you on the spot here for 2 minutes.
Right. Yeah. It's the best way to protect the investment that you currently have. So it's using that property manager to get a quality tenant in there and make sure that you don't have to take the time and the resources it takes to find a tenant, to screen those tenants, to make sure that your property's well handled and taken care of, as well as that tenant being taken care of, so you know that that tenant's going to pay their rent on time.
Absolutely. And collection of payments and paying on time is one of the biggest thing that investors are worried about. Great, great information, RJ. We'll get you scheduled to get back in here in a couple months. Thank you for being on the show and helping set people up for a successful 2020.
My pleasure, Lance.
And we'll be right back here next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.